Graham from now. Did you want to make any announcements? Or? Okay. That's Cecilia, our president. And the program from now is I'll be giving a short Dharma talk, about half an hour, and that'll be followed by some meditation for half an hour. But I'll be a guided meditation after 10 minutes of just settling in. I'll be giving a guided loving-kindness meditation so that we can end 2015 with this beautiful kindness to all beings and to oneself and to the planet Earth. And then it will go on to the midnight. And at that point, hopefully you still have your eyes closed, I will give this blessing, which we only give on the New Year's Day, a blessing for all of you and your families and everybody else for the happiness and well-being, a traditional way of entering the new year. And the reason why we have this ceremony here is I was telling someone many years ago, some of the people would come here, they would often say that on a New Year's Eve, it was a culture to go to some party, some celebration. And the celebrations and parties they went to, people started getting very stupid and doing crazy things, you know, and taking alcohol, getting drunk, and being quite nasty to one another sometimes. And they always wanted some other place to go to on a New Year's Eve. And so it was because people asked, can't we do something at our Buddhist center so we can make the New Year's Eve not just a festival of food and drinking, but something more meaningful, and something they can meet their friends and have some fellowship, and afterwards go home with a beautiful, peaceful mind. Not a mind which has been supported, you know, by the pleasures of getting drunk. We think it's a pleasure, but afterwards we suffer enormously in the morning. But having a beautiful mind, a mind of clarity, of happiness, of joy, and we take that home with us, and that's our first memory of the new year. Peacefully, happily, just driving home from the temple. And I also say to people that when you do drive home after one of the parties here, I say this every year, when you do drive home from the parties here, don't drive straight back home. Drive around, see if you can find a policeman. It's always good fun that when you find a policeman and he stops you and they say, where have you been? He says, I've been to a party. And then he always will ask you, please breathe into the tube. And when you register a zero reading, he asks, what type of party have you been into? And you say, a Buddhist party. And that was just spreading the word that there's other ways to celebrate which don't involve drink or drugs. And a lot of times I remember going to a Buddhist groups when I was young, and they would have a Dhamma talk, they'd do meditation, but there was not the friendship and the fellowship which is also important, especially in a country which isn't Buddhist. So it's wonderful for Buddhists to meet together, to have a meal together, to celebrate together, because that's also part of the path. And many of you will know that this is what the Buddha kept on saying. The Ananda, his chief, Ananda, his attendant, used to say to the Buddha, having good friends, what they call Kalyanamitta, is 50% of the spiritual life. And the Buddha said, no, it's 100%. Because if you have good friends, people who also don't like taking alcohol or drugs, people who are kind and good and compassionate, and you know, a temple where you can have some fun and some laughter as well, then that is a very good influence on you, having good friends. It inspires you, uplifts you, and it also means you can bring your children as well, because they enjoy coming to a place like this where there's a bit of fun and laughter. I know I just came back from Malaysia and Singapore, and many of those people in Malaysia and Singapore, their kids will only go to a talk if Ajahn Brahm gives the talks. Because otherwise they say, it's boring, I don't want to go, Mummy, I don't want to go, Daddy. But if you make it interesting and sometimes enjoyable, of course the kids will love to go. And they also learn a lot of Dhamma as well. And here on a New Year's Eve, every year we do something which is odd and strange, just to make it a bit of fun. And I was really surprised. Where is she? The little girl. We gave her the party name Cappuccino. And she went and asked, everyone had to give like a 1 minute Dhamma talk. And I was really impressed. She was saying that if you want to get into jhana, you have to not think and see a beautiful light. And where she got that from, I don't know. But that was really impressive. She actually won the little competition. And for someone that age to say things like that was really impressed me. And obviously she has been coming probably with her parents. And sometimes you think they don't hear what's being said here. But they do hear, and it really goes into them and it trains them. So they're really good children afterwards. So there's something to be said about having a center which is celebrates and encourages the fellowship as well, where everyone is welcome. We can meet one another, help one another, and have this beautiful comradeship. Because if you don't get your friendship here, you go to other places. People go to pubs, or they go to work functions. And one of my favorite stories was the one about the elephant. And that was the story which became the title of the book, which is sold here as Good, Bad, Who Knows. That book, Good, Bad, Who Knows, was translated into German, and the title was a German translation of The Elephant Who Lost His Happiness. And you might think that's a kid's book, but it's a very wise and meaningful little story. And it was the elephant. In those days, a king had an elephant, and the best elephants were like Rolls Royces or Mercedes-Benz limos. Because that's the way the king would get around. So getting a really good, well-trained, obedient elephant was like having a really expensive car. And so when the elephant started misbehaving, if you had a Rolls Royce which started misbehaving, you'd get the supplier straight away and get it fixed. And so he'd got his vets and other people to try and fix up the elephant, but nothing worked. The elephant was still really bad. As I said in Penang 2 nights ago, I said it was like the elephant, whenever it saw the king coming past, would squirt water at it with its trunk and just soak even the king. And whenever the trainer was walking behind, that's the time the elephant pooed. And if you can imagine just how much poo comes out of a dog, imagine that to the size of an elephant. That is a lot of shit coming out of an elephant. They just waited until the trainer was right behind. It became really bad-natured. And King couldn't find any reason why he was doing these things. And so in this story, based on that old Jataka tale from the time of the Buddha, that the minister said, I will look after this, I will investigate. So instead of always jumping to conclusions, instead of just seeing what the experts say, which is what the king was doing, the minister would just investigate and find out. So what the minister did, he just went next to that elephant stall and just meditated there, just to be around to see what was happening. And of course, early in the morning, about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, that's when the minister heard there was people meeting right behind the elephant stall. And he went to investigate. And it was a band of thieves. It was bandits. It was really bad people. These days we'd say it's the bikies. And they were going behind there planning all of their deals they're going to make that night. The drugs which they were importing in, the stuff they were selling, who they were going to beat up because they didn't pay their debts. That was where they'd meet. It was supposed to be safe and a secret behind the elephant store. And it was because of the bad language, the bad vibes. Because elephants can't understand human language, but they can get the feeling of the people around you. And that was why the elephant became a bad elephant. just by the association of bad people every night for I don't know how long. And the solution was so easy. All the king did was to get the, all the minister did was to get the king to arrest all those elephants and then invite the monks to actually to do some chanting, some meditation, some discussing of the Dhamma right behind the elephant stall. Now, I don't know if that's a really nice place to spend the night. Now, if Colin Barnett asked me to spend the night in Perth Zoo beneath the elephant stall, I would decline. But the monks in those days did what they were told. And so they meditated behind the elephant stall, and just after a few days, the elephant picked up on the good nature of the monks. And the elephant became good-natured, even better than before. And the moral of that story is, well, you do actually pick up from the people who you hang out with, the people you associate with, even the people you work with. You pick up on their energies. So that's why if you associate with good people, you become good. Associate with bad people, you become bad. It's just the nature. You can't stop it. And it is one of the reasons I told people that, I think I said it here, if you have, say, a husband who's really hard to live with, always demanded, always gets angry, send him to the monastery. If you have a wife who's always nag, 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 send her to Dharmasara Nuns Monastery for a week or two. And just hanging out, don't even need to listen to any Dhamma talks or do any meditation, just living with good, kind, peaceful people for just 1 week. It rubs off on you. And your husband goes back home, new improved model. Your wife comes home, she's so peaceful, never demanding anything at all. Because, you know, you get some of the vibes from the monks and the nuns. The problem is that the monks hanging around with your husband, we pick up on his bad nature. So it works both ways. And that's why we don't allow too many people to come and stay at the monasteries. But it is true, we do pick up on the energy of the people who surround us, which is one of the reasons why it's great to come on a New Year's Eve, pick up from the good energy of the monks here and also the friends who are here this evening. Calm, peaceful, happy, joyful, without any need for sort of whiskies and beers and stuff. Sometimes you see people who drink these whiskies and beers, they become crazy people. You see all these stories of what happens when you get drunk. What was it? There was two guys, and they were driving home, supposed to be in Ireland, they liked drinking over there in those days anyway. Any Irish here, I'm in trouble already. But anyway, it was a guy who was, now I better stop this story. I'm too tired to remember the punchline. But there's so many jokes about people who get drunk. This was supposed to be one of them. You get into always really, really, really big trouble. So it's much better to have fun without alcohol. It also means in the morning that you are sober and also enjoy yourself. I must admit, the last time I ever got drunk, if you don't know this story, I was at college. This was in Cambridge. And every year they would have the scholars' dinner. And I was, you know, one of the scholars in the college. I was one of the bright ones, even in the college. And so we'd be invited for this 9-course dinner. But before the dinner, we would go to, it was called the Gallery in Emmanuel College, which was built by the very famous architect Sir Christopher Wren. And this huge mahogany table. And there was butlers, I mean not waiters, these were real English butlers, you know, in the tails and everything. And on these beautiful silver trays, they were giving out sherry. Not the sort of stuff you get in the bottle shops. This was high quality, kept in their cellars for many years. And at the time, this is how stupid I was, at the time I was doing maths, and I changed to physics afterwards. And as I was doing maths, together with one of my other friends who was also into maths, we did a very simple calculation. the butlers were going around the temple, around a table, a really big table. They were going around the table in a clockwise direction. And if I, at the same speed, walked around the table in an anti-clockwise direction, then I would get twice as many sherries as my friends. That's the sort of stupid thing you thought of when you were a student. So I had extra, it was all for free, extra sherry. And then we had, in the main dining hall, we all sat down, all next to a professor or one of the dons. Sometimes these were Nobel laureates. And you sit down these great minds, and every course, 9 courses, had a different wine with it. And those butlers were always hovering around you. If your glass got below halfway, they were there immediately to fill it up. It was never below half. And that was their job. And after 9 courses, and I don't know how much wine, then we went to the old library, another room, where there was fruit, if you want fruit, and there was 3 glasses, one for port, one for Madeira, one for claret. And if that was not, then came down the ceremonial goblet, about the size of this belt upside down. And that was filled with port. This goblet was made out of gold with jewels in, and worth a fortune, one of the heirlooms of these colleges. And it was filled to the brim with port wine. And every student or professor, we had to take that, drain it, drink it all down, and then say the old traditional toast in Latin. My Latin was never very good, but by that time it was terrible. So was everybody else's. And that was so intense drunkenness. And it was not just me, it was these Nobel laureates and professors. These were supposed to be highly educated, civilized people, and they were acting like idiots. And I don't know how I got back to my room that night, but I woke up in this morning feeling disgusting. And the first thing I saw when I opened my eyes was a big pile of vomit. I'd vomited in my sleep. Now, for me, I was disgusted. Later on, I learned you could choke to death on that. Really dangerous. And I was so disgusted with myself. And people said, oh, what a wonderful night that was. So was it? I didn't know. Can't remember anything. And I certainly, well, I don't know if it was a night, good night or not, but I really understand it was a terrible morning. I felt awful. I felt like close to death, you know, with the hangover. But that was the last time I ever took any alcohol. So what a stupid thing it is to do. And tonight, as many people going out there getting drunk, thinking that you do need to have that alcohol to be happy. You don't need the alcohol to be happy. Now you can have a wonderful time here. You don't need alcohol just to allow yourself to express your happiness and to play around a bit. Those of you who were at the party earlier, the first part from 9 to 10, we had a good time there. People were laughing a lot. And there's not one bit of alcohol drunk. And sometimes people wonder, are you taking alcohol? I do remember once I did a ceremony in England. There was a prison, and they managed to talk to this person and that person and get a Buddha statue installed inside the jail. I think it was Spring Hill Jail, I think it was called. And they managed to get a Buddha statue. It was very easy to get Buddha statues. You know, I think it was the Thai population. They sponsored it. And it was installed inside one of Her Majesty's prisons in the gardens. Just so that any prisoner could go and have a peaceful place to sit and contemplate. Because the Buddha does have that force behind it. People actually like it for peace. I said over in Triple Wisdom Hall in Penang 2 nights ago, I told them, they didn't know this, that in the Second World War, Winston Churchill, the British Prime Minister, had a Buddha statue next to his bed when he went to sleep at night. Now on the little table next to your bed, a Buddha statue there. You only found that out by chance. What was he doing, the British Prime Minister, with a statue of the Buddha next to his bed throughout the whole Second World War? And to me it's obvious that if you think you have stress, if you think that your job is difficult, imagine leading a country in a world war, and for most of that war, he was losing. That was really stressful. And to deal with that stress, and sometimes the hopelessness, and responsibility for so many hundreds of thousands of people dying, he had a Buddha statue next to his bed to contemplate some peace and compassion. And that's why he had it there. It's a wonderful thing to have. So, we don't need to have spirits to make us happy. There's other stuff we can have to make us happy and peaceful. And it's another type of happiness as well. Not the happiness which is, to me, I always look at that happiness when people are drunk. It's actually false. It's like plastic. It's not really solid underground. It's really on the surface. Because underneath, they don't really know what they're up to. So you have more happiness, when you have some dhamma. And going back to that story in the prison, they put this Buddha statue in the prison. They were doing the opening ceremony for it. I happened to be there in the UK visiting my family at the time, so I got an invite. And for those of you who've been on the Waisak celebration here, we do the traditional Buddhist ceremony of a circumambulation, walking around three times with candles, incense and flowers. It's a traditional Buddhist padakina in Sri Lanka of paying respects in a clockwise direction. So we decided to do that. We had our candles, incense and flowers, a few monks and a couple of other Buddhists, and all the donors also made a big meal for everybody, so they're all there waiting for the ceremony to finish to have the meal. And as I was walking around the Buddha statue, realizing this was in a prison, a place which is really hard to get a Buddha statue into, and what a great service and benefit that would give to the people in that jail, how it will probably change many people's lives. And even if it doesn't change their life, at least it makes their suffering a little bit less. What an amazing thing that was. And I was contemplating that, getting happier and happier and happier, my smile getting broader and broader. And on the third way round, I saw a couple of prisoners in the corner of my eye. They weren't participating, they were just standing out there looking, see what's going on. Because that evening there was nothing much on the telly, the TV, so they thought they'd go and see these crazy people walking around a Buddha statue. And as I looked at them, and they saw I was looking at them, one turned to the other and said, pointing at me, "He's on the gear." Which, if you don't know what that means, is this monk is taking drugs. And the only reason they said that, because that's the only time they've seen someone that happy, with a big smile on their face. They thought that's the only way you can be happy, by taking drugs. And you're proving to them, you're happy without the drugs. You're happy without the alcohol. You're happy with a beautiful fellowship, inspiring, being with really nice people, good people, and installing a Buddha statue, the first one ever, I think, probably in the world. I don't think there's even Buddha statues in Thai jails. There should be, heaps of them. So it was a way of inspiring people. And I got so inspired, I got incredibly happy. And realized that that's how we have our happiness in this world. Not the plastic false happiness which you have to pay for later on with a hangover or with the problems with drugs, but a happiness which is pure, beautiful, and which lasts a long time with no bad side effects. That's one of the reasons why it's great for people to come here. If you don't understand what's going on here, it doesn't really matter. It rubs off on you. A bit of osmosis. That's why the kids like coming here, because it's happy. And that's why, you bring your friends here. At least they have a wonderful good time. Not the good time of like going to a rock concert where you come home deaf. but a place where, you know, you can come home inspired, which is brilliant. So that's why people come here, and having the fellowship is really important. But on this occasion, we're coming together because this is the new year. And it's great being a Buddhist, especially in our center, because we can celebrate 3 new years every year. In some traditions, you only have 1 new year. We have 3. We have this one this evening and tomorrow. We have this Chinese New Year, which I think this year is in early February. And we also have the Thai New Year, and Burmese New Year, and Sri Lankan New Year in April. So if you really want to have fun, you should become a Buddhist. 3 New Years every year. Well, other people only have 1. It would be great if we could have a holiday for every one of those New Years. And we're working on it. Actually, I saw an article that recently, the United Nations, if you haven't heard this yet, United Nations has now allowed all UN workers to take the day off on Waisak, make it an important holiday. So if you're a Buddhist and you work for the United Nations, now you are allowed to take the day off on Waisak Day. That's the birth, enlightenment, death of the Buddha. So at least now we're getting somewhere in getting this recognized internationally. But this also means that it's a time that New Year, often in the Thai, Sri Lankan, Burmese tradition, we always throw water over each other as a means of bathing, cleansing off the past. So New Years are always the occasion we can let go of the past. Because that's one of the most difficult things for people to do. I don't know how many people are depressed because of something which happened in the past. You can't be depressed right now. Nothing to be depressed about right now, in a beautiful place, good people, safe, nice food, stupid jokes. My stupid joke, I tried this out last night. Some people got it, some people didn't. But anyway, it's appropriate for the season if you come from Northern Europe. What ball doesn't bounce? What ball doesn't bounce? And the answer is a snowball. Well, it's the best I can do. It's very seasonal if you're in the Northern Hemisphere. But anyhow, some people are shaking their heads. Maybe they'll stop their membership of a Buddhist society and protest at the bad jokes. And if you've heard it before, of course you may have heard it before, because this is still the old year. The new year, new jokes don't start until the new year, till tomorrow. But when I was telling those old jokes, I also, last night at Singapore, they asked me to repeat this old story. It was in a big talk in a centre over in Singapore. I only came in this afternoon from Singapore. I've been in Penang for most of the last week teaching a meditation retreat, which is really useful. And they asked me to please talk about, because it's appropriate for the new year, you know, the story of the old two chicken farmers story. And if you don't know that, you must go to the doctor, and you must be getting dementia and Alzheimer's, because I've said it so often. But it's such an appropriate story for the new year. Two chicken farmers. First chicken farmer goes into the shed early in the morning to collect the produce of the night before, and they go into the chicken shed with their basket, and they fill their basket full of chicken shit, you know, the little pellets. And they leave the eggs in the shed to rot. And they take the shit into the house with them. And their family are not very happy about them. They're very dumb, stupid chicken farmers. Yeah, the chicken produces both, but that's not what you collect. So instead, the second chicken farmer goes in there and collects the eggs. Leaves the shit in the shed to rot. Takes the eggs back into the house, makes a nice omelette for the family's breakfast, and sells the rest of the eggs in the market for cash. And do you know where I got that story from? That's from Ajahn Chah. He used to tell that story. And the moral of that story, the meaning he told, meaning why he said it, because he asked human beings, are you shit collectors or egg collectors? When you remember everything which happened in 2015, What are you going to put in your basket with you and take into 2016? Are you going to take the shit into the next year? No, the shit stops here. You take the eggs into 2016. So if you record anything which happened in the last 12 months, only take the good stuff, the wonderful memories, the happy times, the times you had a wonderful success, joyful. Remember that and take that into the new year. Because you don't take chicken shit into the house and make omelets out of it. Otherwise you're really crazy, but most people are crazy. So 2015 is gone. All the bad stuff, the shit, passed. All the good stuff, the things which work, the happy moments. Have you had many happy moments in the last year? Beautiful times, really good fun. Our Buddhist society, we've done really well. We've sort of completed, and we had that wonderful conference this year where the crazy people with the bionic man with the camera attached to his brain. That was really weird. I thought that was really weird until I saw the next guy who had an ear on his arm. Weird people around. And people think I'm weird. I haven't really sort of got anywhere in the weird mistakes. But anyway, that was really good fun, having a nice conference, and also many, many retreats. Dhammasara Nuns Monastery, basically all the buildings are finished. 17th of January, doing the grand opening ceremony. Great to come along to that. We had a really good year, our Buddhist society. No scandals, no difficulties. Oh, you had a few arguments and a few problems with people's cars, but now we've got the security outside. We've really done a lot in the last year. And every one of you who's come here regularly has helped out. So really, thank you so much for looking after this center and sort of making sure it runs well. And some of you, you know, not committee members, some of you just work so quietly. Sometimes, you know, I come in a Friday afternoon and see people working here. People you don't know, people who go unrecognized. And people during the week, sometimes you come here during the week, there's a funeral or a house blessing, you come here, and it's amazing how many people look after this place. It's our center. And you know, you should all, if you come here, you should be really, really proud of this place. I go all over the world, and people come here and they say, wow, how come? Why Perth? It's not a capital city. It's not got a major population. It's not in some great continent like Asia or Europe, or even the United States, with a huge number of people around. Here, the most isolated city in the whole world, and we've got the best, I'd say the best monks monastery, the best nuns monastery, well, it's probably the only nuns monastery, and the best retreat center, and the best city center. People actually ask me, when we go overseas, we're going to England, or we're going to Italy, or we're going to Africa, can you please recommend a place like this? And I can't. So it's amazing what we have here. And right now, as many people, you know, tuning in, because this is live streamed this evening, they're tuning in all over the world to watch this. We get more people on YouTube than probably the countdown to New Year's on Sydney Harbour Bridge. Maybe. Well, we're getting there. We're increasing it. They're going down. So anyway, live telecast from Dhammaloka. But it's wonderful to see how successful we've become. So that's what I always remember. We've had difficulties. People reminded me with some of the membership stuff, because we have to change the constitution for this and that. Oh yeah, we have had some difficulties in the committee with the internet. Oh yeah, but those are tiny things. We don't carry that into the future with us. We carry all the successes and wonderful things we've had, just like you. Oh yes, we did have the Dockers losing in the semi-finals and the Eagles in the finals. But, you know, at least we got there anyway. So that's really wonderful. So we don't sort of let that make us unhappy. Yeah, you know, we did get the Australian cricket team losing the Ashes. But then the English cricket team won the Ashes. And I've got dual nationality, so I'm always happy. So you can always take that choice.
And the most important thing is the people you live with, even your health, and all of the stuff which has happened to you in the year. If you can't let go of the bad stuff which has happened in the past 12 months, it's going to make you sick. It's going to stop you being happy. It's going to stop you being a person that someone else can love. So this is a wonderful opportunity. Let go of all the shit of the past. And carry the eggs into 2016. I say that even in businesses, I don't know why businesses do this. They have problems and difficulties and have all these long meetings about the difficulties. When something goes right, they just take it for granted. For me, if there's any difficulties or problems, I let it go. When things really work, we have success, we have happiness, I like to have a meeting about the happiness. Why was it happiness? Why was it successful? Why did we do well? So that way we can motivate ourselves and also learn from the successes of life. So we learn from the successes of 2015. What really worked? Why? And once you learn the secret of happiness and success, then you can do it again. So that's, we always learn from what goes right. Much more than we learn from what goes wrong. So we let all that go. So we can go into 2016 free. Free of the prisons we've made of the past. When I was in Singapore, it was really nice to see they had one of the ex-prisoners who just came in to give a talk to us about how to let go. A prisoner in Changi Jail. I've been in Changi Jail in Singapore, and that makes, or at least the prisons I've been to in Australia, you know, all the prisons almost, all the prisons in Australia are like holiday camps, like resorts compared to the prisons in Singapore. They're really tough in there. And they're just no TVs, sleep on the floor, hard floor, just with a grass mat. Really tough. But this guy just coming out of jail, and he was saying, no, he gave a talk. He was actually having to wear a tracker, and he had to get permission to come and give a talk last night from the authorities. And he was saying that how much he learnt from jail, how to let go of the past, how to forgive instead of punish, and how to value the most important things in life, because he was taking ice so he could work hard to get more money. And the police caught him, so put in jail. I realized, what was I doing that for? Money is not the most important thing, is. Family is. And health. A very inspiring talk. So he is somebody who 2015 was a hell for him in jail. But is he taking that hell into 2016? No way. He's taking all the good things he's learned. Forgiveness, kindness, wisdom. So that's really impressive to see people like that. These are real Buddhists who, yeah, you have to take the pain, but you learn from it and become better so it doesn't happen again. And you get so wise from it. That's real good Buddhism. I was inspired by his talk last night. So this is how we deal with our pain. I'm sure not many of you have been in jail last year. So, if he can let that go, can't you let go of the small things which happened to you last year? And especially if someone really close to you has cheated you, abused you, let you down. How many times did they let you down last year? And how many times did they help you? Why is it they help us so many times? We take it for granted. They let us down once or twice and that's it. I'm not having anything to do with you ever again. That to me is unfair. So please forgive in 2000 and forgive this evening. Anyone who's harmed you, forgive them. And that way we can go forward into 2016 wiser, happier. And when you leave here, you are smiling from ear to ear. And the policeman, if you find one, will think the only way you can be so happy is you must be drunk. And it's wonderful to see their faces when they find out you're not drunk, your reading is zero, you're just happy, and you're teaching policemen. People don't need to have all these drugs. They don't need to have even millions of dollars. They don't need much. All they need to do is to have wisdom, have Dhamma. And that's the best happiness you could have. So that's a little talk this evening. So I hope you liked it. At least you liked the nice parts of it. And you don't like the bad joke about the snowball. Matter if you have meditated for the last 15 minutes. And it will finish with a beautiful chanting for bringing in 2000. It's nice and comfortable. It doesn't matter how you sit. If you want to, again, I always say the best places in the house are against the wall. Those are the ones which get taken first of all, next to chairs. It's only 24 minutes. Not going to hurt that much. So close your eyes. And with your eyes closed, bring all your awareness to your poor old body. Mine is going through customs, going through immigration, lining up. Sleeping in places you're not used to. And I'm being kind. For Keith, thank you for looking after me, allowing me to teach, to meditate. So with a bit of gratitude and body, I can feel my body relax. And I learn how to relax to the max. So I can't feel any pressure on my body anywhere. If my legs are, I move. If my nose is itching, I scratch it. I'm kind. I'm not trying to discipline my body. That's what they do in the army. I'm trying to be kind to my body. To be sensitive. It's otherwise called mindfulness, together with kindness. Kindfulness. To reasonably relax. Relax the mind. Your mind. Don't try to train. This is called loving your mind. Opening the door of your mind, so the door of your heart, to whatever's going on right now. And see if you can become aware of your breathing. Just breathing in naturally, breathing out naturally. Not forcing it. It's as if you are watching it just from a few feet away. Without controlling it, you're just observing. and let the breath just calm down your mind. Always centering in the present moment. Just with this breath happening right now. And if you like, you can say to yourself, breathing in peace, breathe out, let go. In peace, out, let go. Feel the peace coming into your body and mind. With the out-breath, let go of sickness, pain, and all the shit of the past. Breathing in peace, breathe out, let go. Now to start the loving kindness meditation. Can you please imagine an object, not a real one, an object which you find it very easy to develop feelings of kindness and warmth towards? I usually use an imaginary kitten. You can use a puppy, plant, a baby. A little lamb, whatever it is, something which you find it so easy to want to nurture and care for. I usually use my powers of visualization to imagine a scared little kitten, a stray, someone who's been abandoned, who really desperately needs love and care. Needs someone to protect it because it's so fragile and vulnerable. And I imagine my little kitten looking at me with eyes of a combination of hope and fear, not knowing whether this big being will hurt it or love it. It's my job to look at that little kitten, or if you like to use a puppy or a baby or a plant. My job is to give that little being so much love and kindness from my heart and through my eyes that being starts to trust me. I will never harm you, little being. I only want to help and care for you. You will give me a gift if I can care and love you and feed you and see you grow, see you become strong. Please let me help you. As you just keep eye contact with this first object of loving kindness, of imaginary one, until you can feel the fear start to diminish. And the trust increase. And I imagine, like I've done with kittens before, extending my hand out so slowly towards that kitten and just touching it so gently, not picking it up yet, just touching it to convince this little kitten I mean no harm. And all the time given this beautiful, powerful, golden energy of loving kindness from my heart to this being. May you be happy. May you be free of all the pain and the fear. May you realize that you have a friend, someone will always care for you and love you. I'll always find some fish for you somewhere, or some chicken, whatever you like, little kitten. And it's my joy to see you grow strong, playful, a friend. I love you, little kitten. Please accept my love. Now imagine this golden ball of light starting to glow in my chest by my heart. And these rays, these golden rays of metta, loving kindness, coming out through my chest onto that little kitten. I feel a tingling in my chest. And I spread that golden ball of energy from the little nose and whiskers to the ears and down to the tail and the paws of that kitten. May you be well and happy. Free of pain, safe. Now imagine that metta softening that kitten until I can hear the kitten purr. It's found a friend, a protector, someone who will care for it all her life. Me. And why do I only do this? To start growing the loving kindness. Imaginary object is much better than a real one. But next I use a real object, someone I know and care for. And I imagine them as if they were right in front of me, still keeping my eyes closed. My closest friend in life, whoever that happens to be for you, imagine them. They too hurt, just like the little kitten hurts. They too need love and trust and friendship, just like all beings need it. And that's my closest friend. I care for you, dear friend. May you be happy and well, free of pain and suffering. My dear friend, please accept my loving kindness. As you imagine this golden ball of energy getting stronger in your chest and radiating out to this person, soaking them from head to toe. May all your sicknesses, your pain, your diseases get less because of this loving kindness. May all the pain of your past, may my loving kindness allow you to let it go. You deserve to be free. And knowing that someone cares for you so much will help you face the future without fear, knowing there's always someone there for you. Me. As you spread this beautiful loving kindness energy to your best friend in life, until the tingle in your chest starts to feel stronger and stronger, the physical counterpart to the emotion of loving kindness. And then you spread that loving kindness without opening your eyes to everybody in this room. People, maybe you know them, maybe the first time you've met. All people who also have pain in their life, sometimes frustration, difficulties, uncertainty, just like you. People who have been hurt and damaged in life, just like you. Coming together just for this occasion. May all beings in this room, and you wish this as I say it, may all beings in this room be free of pain and sickness and negativity and fear. May our loving kindness go right to your past, to your earliest days. Because with compassion and kindness it becomes so much easier to forgive, to learn and let go. May all beings in this room be free. Be free to forgive themselves and all others, as the Buddha would always encourage. And may all beings in this room find peace and happiness and joy, knowing that we all care for one another, truly, like the Buddha asked. So you spread this beautiful loving kindness energy to all people in this room. This golden light of energy coming from everybody's hearts, joining, strengthening each other, and bringing this beautiful sense of peace, warmth, kindness, respect, and forgiveness to everyone in this room. And then you spread the loving kindness further. You may have friends and relatives elsewhere in Perth. So imagine expanding that beautiful golden energy of metta, loving kindness, further out to the suburbs where you live, where you have friends and relations and loved ones. Further out to the hospitals where even this evening people are sick, in pain, and their relations in the ICU waiting rooms, desperate for good news. Out to the lonely people and the homeless, those who are suffering the diseases, both emotional and physical, of life. To all the animals and birds in the air and things which crawl on the ground. May all beings in Perth, because of our kindness, be at peace and free of pain. May you receive this beautiful golden energy of loving kindness. And allow that to go to your loved ones and also your enemies. Now spreading it wider throughout the whole of Australia. Sending it down to all the people I care for in Bodhinyana Monastery in Jhana Grove. I haven't been there in a couple of weeks. May you all be happy and well. To the nuns and the female community at Dharamsala. To all of the monks, the nuns, the priests, the imams, the rabbis. To all people, to all our politicians, business leaders, doctors. May all beings in Australia, in this time, let go of their past. Be at peace with themselves and the people they live with and work with. May all beings experience the transforming power of loving kindness, how it does bring peace and freedom from all the anger and grief of life. May all beings be at peace. As you imagine this golden energy of loving kindness from our hearts going all over Australia. And then take it further. I just come back from many friends, people I care about in Singapore and also in Penang. There's so many people I know. I've touched them, they've touched me. These are your friends and relations too. You may have relations back in Europe or Americas. You may have relations in Sri Lanka, Thailand, Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, New Zealand. So right now, spread that loving kindness over the whole world. May this whole world find peace, enough to respect and trust one another. May all people, from the power of our compassion, have their fear and anger lessened, so they no longer need to kill people out of revenge. Their ideology is tolerance and friendship and peace, not war and violence. May all beings on this planet Earth care for this planet, so it can be safe for our children and children's children. May all people on this planet Earth be kind to one another. build peace rather than money. May all people on planet Earth know the power of love and peace and freedom. As you spread this beautiful loving kindness energy over the whole world, imagine this golden energy just going right over the sphere, the globe that is planet Earth, healing, giving hope, giving the promise of peace. And now there's one person we always leave to the last. That is yourself. You've been through a hard time last year, the years before. Imagine without opening your eyes that you're looking yourself in the mirror. And say to yourself, may I be happy and well. May I forgive all my faults, stupidity, craziness, just like as I ask other people to forgive me, I forgive me too. May I learn from my mistakes and grow and become a better person instead of punishing myself for my mistakes. Why? Because as you look at yourself, imagining yourself in a mirror, because the door of my heart is open to me unconditionally, at least I will always understand me and love me and care for me, just like you loved and cared for that little kitten. You now are like that little kitten. Wounded, cold, hungry, scarred. You need your love as much as an abandoned kitten needs it. So imagine this golden light of loving kindness going to yourself. And keeping it there as you keep it to all other beings. I'm now going to be silent for the last 2 minutes of 2015. When I speak again, it will be to do the chanting. I will now give the blessing for the new year. Sabba Buddha Nubhavena, Sabba Dhamma Nubhavena, Sabba Sangha Nubhavena, Buddha. Buddha Ratanam, Dhamma Ratanam, Sangha Ratanam, Tinang Ratanam, Anubhavena Chaturasiti Sahasa, Dhamma Kanda Anubhavena, Pitakataya Anubhavena, Jinasavaka Anubhavena, Sabbe te roga, Sabbe te baya, Sabbe te antaraya, Sabbe te upadava, Sabbe te dunimita, Sabbe te avamangala vinasantu, Ayuvadako dhanavadako siriwadako yasavadako balavadako vanavadako sukhavadako Hotu sabada dukha roga Vaya vera soka satu chupadava Aneka antaraya piwina Santu chate jasa Jaya siddhi dhanang labhang soti bhagayang sukhang balang siri ayu cha vadno cha bhogang vuddhi cha yasava satavasa cha ayu cha jiva siddhi For one to take. May you all have a happy, peaceful, joyful, love-filled 2016. Happy New Year. Very good. So now's the time to turn around to the people sitting next to you and wish them all a happy New Year. Happy New Year. Okay. He did say he's not coming tonight. Okay. See him in the morning. I'll keep it from tomorrow. Happy New Year. Yeah, very good. Say, Peter, I'll go with Tech Lang. Might be low, Lloyd. Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year. May you have a really